You're to listen to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche. I'm with Terry Haynes. How are you?
Just fine. How you doing, Kayla?
Good. We're here to talk about Fisheries Council. Could you give me a little update on what's happening? I know there's a transition going on here. And, could you tell me about that? What's the change in people going on here?
Oh, at the Fish Work Group here locally?
Yeah.
Well, of course, I won't be able to serve on there anymore. So Gabriel Saravia will be joining the Fish Work Group. And we're going to get one more new person from the Borough Assembly, too.
Okay, so have you guys decided on who's going to be that person that's...
Well, on the city side, it's going to be Gabriel Saravia, and he has a long history in fish issues. He worked for Western Alaska for years and years and has a pretty good understanding. But, of course, he's going to have to catch up. That darn fish work group probably has as much homework as any other, committee or work group, that's around.
Hmm. And so are you guys still working on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council letter, or could you give us a little update on that?
Well, right now, the borough and the city have given their comment on what the North Pacific Council has done up till now. But the council wasn't really very upfront with what they were going to do at their last meeting that just happened in October. What they did was they brought a fourth alternative for the bycatch management plan that's on the burner right now. It's probably the most pressing issue in fisheries management policy in Alaska right now.
Before we go into the fourth one, can you go over the first three?
Well, the first one, and this is true of every single new management plan that they consider at the management councils, the first alternative is always to take no action. And they're required to have that alternative in there by law. Just because if you went forward with a fisheries management plan and every single plan that comes out is completely messed up, you would want that alternative to fall back to whatever the heck you were doing before. But in actuality, take no action isn't really an option. It's just put in there for a fail-safe, basically a parachute. So really the three alternatives would be 2, 3, and 4. Alternative 2 is a full share, full catch share program that would look somewhat like halibut and crab, with some differences maybe, although they're still forming it. Alternative 3 would include a CFA, a Community Fishery Association element to it. So that alternative actually could be blended in with either Alternative 2 or Alternative 4. Alternative 4 is new in that when we got a new governor, we got a new Fish and Game Commissioner. And our new Fish and Game Commissioner, Sam Cotton, said, now hang on with this whole process. Hold on. I'm not convinced that we need to have a full catch share program to achieve our goals. And what they've done is they've taken this time out that they called to craft a fourth alternative. And this alternative would be not a full catch share program that, like we know it, which would give out target species, but it would be a bycatch catch share program, essentially. The analogy is not perfect, but basically what they would do was right now, the way the system works right now, if any one boat in the fleet goes over the bycatch limit, they can shut the whole fleet down. What they were talking about is giving a bycatch limit to each vessel as it goes out and fishes, so that if that vessel went over their limit, they would shut themselves down, but wouldn't shut the entire fleet down, and you would still continue to prosecute the fishery.
And that is called a use cap or a vessel use cap?
No, that's completely different. Okay. The use cap is has something to do with that's a way of getting around over consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
And what they call a use cap might have been called a vessel cap before. Essentially, it limits the amount of a full catch share quota that one person could accumulate or one company could accumulate themselves. Sort of a anti-monopoly provision. So that would be a part of possibly one of the other alternatives.
Okay. Has the Kodiak Fisheries Work Group come to a decision on which of these alternatives would be the best?
Well, so far, the Fish Work Group has done a lot of work just coming up with what our goals would be that we would like to see for any action that the council takes. Since they just came out with a new alternative, it's very difficult for the Fish Work Group to come up with, you know, any kind of a input either way, since it's really new. You know, they're still developing the program. So, but what the Fish Work Group has been doing, though, is doing all the homework, keeping up with what the Fisheries Management Council is doing, and keeping the public informed. And so that when that time comes for them to make some inputs, those inputs could be relevant and informed.
And since you're not affiliated with the group anymore, can I ask your personal opinion of which alternative you think would work? And you're a fisherman too, right?
Well, you know, I think we have to see, and this is something that we talked about in the last Fish Work Group meeting last Wednesday. I think we have to better understand how the state sees their new alternative working in the real world. What we've heard from industry is that giving a bycatch quota would still retain essentially this race for fish that tends to spur some habits and ways of going about business that maybe aren't good for the resource, and certainly a result in catching too much bycatch. So I think industry has called into question whether you still wouldn't get some destructive practices even with a bycatch quota. But we don't really know enough about how the state sees their new alternative working in the real world. So I think we need some more information about that. And certainly industry has been trying to keep up with this and anticipating what the council might come up with the fourth quota or the fourth alternative. And so, you know, they already have put out, you know, why they think it might not work. You know, I think we'd like to see from the council and from the state how they think it would work.
Okay. Well, I'd be curious to hear about the reasons behind why it wouldn't work first.
Well, you know, you're giving out bycatch quota, but it would still be a competitive fishery. So even though each of the vessels would go out there with their own individual bycatch quota now and the potential of shedding themselves out of the fishery, they still would be competing against each other. And the assumption is that in any kind of competitive fishery, a boat might go out there and act in a way that's not, you know, that makes them money, but is bad for the rest of the fleet.
Mm, like what?
Well, you know, I think what they're talking about really, and again, I'd like to hear more about how the state thinks how it would work. Mm. You know, what they're talking about, I guess, is that even though you have a certain amount of bycatch quota, you're still out there competitively fishing. You're going to use, for one thing, you're going to use as much of your bycatch quota as you possibly can. And for another thing, since you're still in a competitive fishery, I guess what if you go over your own personal quota by a great deal? I mean, you've shut yourself out of the fishery, but are you at a level that would have shut down the entire fleet, but now isn't because you're an individual system? And if that's the case, is that spread out through the fleet now? I mean, I think there are some real questions about how it would work. But on the other hand, you know, I think what the state is trying to address are issues with a full catch share system that tend to challenge the economics of fishing communities. Because giving access to the fish before you catch them has allowed, so far, catch share systems and recipients to charge a lease fee and not be active participants in the fishery. And that's one thing that's been something we've talked about for a long time, is to make sure that active participation is a prerequisite for owning the fishery. But it's kind of difficult. You know, I mean, we've talked about you have to have boots on deck, and that certainly seems like a reasonable thing. If I'm going to own a part of the fishery, I should have to go out there and be on the boat that harvests it. But as the present trawl fishery exists, not very many of the boat owners actually are on the boats right now anyway. So we're already in a fishery that's mostly run by hired skippers and crewed by hired deckhands. So the idea that you're going to have boots on deck in the future when we don't have them now isn't very practical.
For alternative three, that involves the catch share program. I described it earlier. How do you avoid over-consolidation?
Well, alternative three is the opportunity to form something, what they call a community fishery association.
Oh, okay.
Now, alternative three could be blended with either alternative two or alternative four. Mm-hmm. They could exist at the same time. Because what they're talking about with the community fishery association is forming an entity. And so far, this is a new idea, and no one's been able to do this up until now, that would hold quota in trust for the community. And so basically, it would be kind of a way of giving quota to a median entity that would then pass it down to the harvesters. But in that way, you could bring in more members of the community around a big table to essentially make decisions about how that quota might be used. And so far, we talked about things like keeping it local and keeping bycatch down, which would allow you to, for one thing, prosecute more trawl fisheries. But if you eventually get to the point where you keep bycatch down and go under your bycatch limits, that allows for more target species for halibut fishermen and salmon fishermen. So the CFA, the idea is that you would have an entity that would help the council manage the fisheries by having a local entity that brings people together, like businesses from the community, people from municipal government, who would at least sit around a table and have a say about redistributing the quota. And so it is a novel idea, but it's something that the Aleutians East Borough has decided to spend a little money on. And they're going to go ahead and spend the money to write what's called a sustainability plan. And every community, if they would like to be eligible to be a CFA community, needs to write a sustainability plan that essentially lays out what their vision is for the future, how they see that resource being a part of that future. And, you know, it's an expense, and it's something that needs to be done. But I think the fact that the Aleutians East Borough has decided to spend the money to go forward and do that is a telling thing.
Mm-hmm. And so you're moving on to other great things after your time on the council and on the work group. And you're starting some other group that you've been talking about before. Can you tell me about that? Fish Heads, you said?
Well, I've kind of been drawn into Facebook. I always say that Facebook was made for old people. It's simple. It's easy. You share a lot of pictures. I mean, it's made for old people. But I've started a group, a Fish Heads group. And I invite anyone out there who's on Facebook to join it. It's pretty easy to find. Just search for Fish Heads group on the internet. And essentially what I'm thinking is this could be an online platform to have reasonable conversation about fisheries management policies. One thing that we found out that the Fish Work Group, one way that they've been very valuable is that it draws all these people from industry together into one little tiny room. I wish it could be a little bigger sometimes. But the conversations that we've had and the amount of things that we've learned from each other at those Fish Work Group meetings, you know, I can't say how valuable that's been for all of us. You know, I've learned things about the way other users of the resource think about the resource that I never would have learned without having that Fish Work Group forum. And I thought that to have a forum like that online on Facebook might be very valuable. And so I invite anyone out there to get on Facebook and search for the Fish Heads group and join. And all we're going to do is talk about fisheries management policy and fish. The only thing that you need to do is to be reasonable and, you know, not to get out there and no insult anybody. You know, I think that when it comes down to it, the degree to which Kodiak has changed in the eyes of the council, you know, they used to look at us as a bunch of wild coyotes who showed up this meeting, biting each other's butts and growling at everybody else. And the way they look at Kodiak right now is as a valuable resource, a touchstone to say, okay, how is this going to affect communities? And this is not only our municipal representatives who have been going to these meetings, but the representatives from industry. You know, I think that going to these meetings and talking to each other has resulted in a much better informed individual inputs to the council, too. You know, we know a lot more about what the other person is talking about and thinking about. And frankly, I think we come off much better at a council level because we've all talked to each other already and we've learned from each other.
And how will Fish Heads be different from other groups?
Well, we'll be reasonable.
And you can say that now because you're not a council member.
Right. I can commit to reasonableness now that I'm off the council. No, actually, I can commit to a certain amount of unreasonableness maybe. But I do think that there, and whether this Fish Heads group on Facebook is a place to do it or not, I think that there's a place for everyone to get together and have reasonable conversations. And I think that time for us to all be at each other's throats is over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think at this point, we all know where we all stand, and how we build this machine that will manage our biggest resource right out in the Gulf of Alaska is very, very important right now. You know, it's like we're building that machine. This machine's going to run for the next 50 years. You know, it's very important how it runs right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the same time as you're doing all this, you're also involved in the fund drive that KMXT is having right now, mm-hmm. right? And we have Pam Foreman in the room with us. And she is our own employee here at KMXT, and she's been involved with some things around here as well.
Just a few, but Terry has taken his creative bent and has created some stories for us that we put together one yesterday. What are you calling the radio arts?
The Kodiak Radio Arts Players.
Yeah, Radio Arts Players. So Terry is not only a fisheries expert, he's quite a writer. And he has written, first of all, he writes very well about essay type materials about fisheries and things like that. But he also is quite a creative writer, and he's written short stories. He's written radio dramas that we've been having some fun playing with. And I think the listening audience will be hearing a lot more of that in the future. Right, Terry?
Well, to me, I'm just happy that I'm able to convince people to come down here and do this stuff.
Good.
I mean, I'm going to be cranking this stuff out no matter what. And, you know, the fact that so many talented people, you know, I swear, sometimes you write something and you look at it in the paper and you think, I don't know. But when I hear people actually do the voices, oh, man.
It's kind of fun, huh?
It is.
Yeah, we had fun yesterday. So just briefly, Friday is our fun drive. We're doing the pre-amp drive stuff now. We have, for people who donate $100 or more while tickets last, we have tickets to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, loge seats for Friday and Saturday night. The show is at midnight, and there are all kinds of fun things that go on with that show if you haven't ever been there, or if it was so far in your past and you might have been in a different condition.
I remember toast.
Yes, you remember toast. There's toast, there's rice, there's all sorts of things, costumes, all kinds of things. So for everybody who donates $100 or more while tickets last, you have an option of getting two tickets to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Plus, we have all sorts of things going on. We have a new thing called the Kodiak Network Card that will get you a year's worth of discounts at 14 different retailers around town. That's for a donation of $120 and up. You'll get that card. Everybody gets a calendar. I'm drawing a blank. The early drawing for people who donate before midnight on Thursday will be entered into a drawing for a trip to Anchorage that includes airfare, hotel, and tickets on the ski train in March, which is a pretty cool-looking event. It's quite an event. So that's tickets for two for that. And then the overall big drawing is tickets for, again, a trip to Anchorage, a show of your choice at the Performing Arts Center, and hotel for two nights for two also. And then for the 365 drawing, for people who donate $365 or more, you'll be entered into a drawing for an auto start from Jay Sound. Thanks to Jay Baldwin for that. And that's about it. I just wanted to give you a very brief update and encourage Terry to keep writing because it's a lot of fun stuff. So tune in on Friday. We'll have stories by Terry. We'll have other radio dramas, scary music, contests, all kinds of stuff on Friday.
Terry, I want to hear about what you've been working on. I know it's been going on my side vision as the news department has been producing news, and I haven't gotten to read any of it or hear any of it. So can you tell me a little bit about when you started working on it and what are the stories about?
Well, we just recorded yesterday the Haunted Cannery for Friday for the fun drive day. And and Pam played a part. She was great. Mm-hmm. She's Margaret.
Really? What's the plot of what? Without giving anything away, what's the plot? This haunting.
Well, the plot is it's about a haunted cannery.
Very good, Terry. That's what my answer was going to be.
This is such a writer. Really knows how to summarize his own work.
But we also are working with about on a couple of other things. One afternoon at the R&R Bar, and I hope to get that put together on Saturday.
The cool. R&R Bar?
Yeah, the R&R Bar, the famous Kodiak watering hole.
Okay, very cool. Yeah. Can you give me a hint what that plot is about?
No, it's really not about anything. You know, I went over and kind of read over it later, and I thought, what is this about? I'm not really sure, but it's about 9 pages.
Oh.
People are just going to have to tune in and listen and see what they're all about.
You know, I notice that's sort of the common thing about things I write. They're not really about anything. I'm still working on that part.
How would you describe your character, Pam?
Well, a little cynical. Would you say that it's accurate?
Margaret's the only person in the skit who actually seems to be aware of what's going on.
That's why she's so cynical. Yeah.
That's part of it, yes.
Yeah. So there's going to be something ghoulish and horrifying in this?
Oh, yeah. Manner. The entire thing is horrifying. Mm-hmm. It features a real estate broker.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh.
So there you go. But we have, in addition to Terry's shows, we have some other shows that are being done and some scary stories that are being read. And just it'll be a fun Halloween-y type of a show as we do our fun drive on Friday. So, but bonus if you pledge early. And super bonus if you pledge while we still have tickets to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That will be fun.
Right. And, you know, they used to be in the interminable fun drive.
Yes.
And now we've kind of gone over the one-day
fun drive. Well, we still have those in the spring. If we don't raise enough money now, then we have the forever fun drive.
Well, that's the point I was going to make. It's kind of nice that we get the one-day fun drive. And if we could just make quite a bit of money on this one, you know, it's nice to do. But I have to say that, you know, those tickets for the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and they're up in the loge.
Yeah.
I mean, you just flash
That's
your tickets at the door.
That's the best place to be.
And get up there, and you can look over the peons down in the, don't throw anything down there. Maybe a little toast or rice.
Yeah, well, we'll refrain from doing all of that. But our board member, Anthony White, is actually going to be the guy who sort of talks everybody through what to do during the pre-show. There's always somebody who sort of does the pre-party thing at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Anthony's going to do that for us on both nights, actually, for not just us, but for everybody at the auditorium or at the theater. So
sounds great.
It's at the Orpheum, not at the auditorium. It's at the Orpheum movie house downtown.
And what time is the radio play tomorrow? Not tomorrow, Friday.
We don't know what time we're going to air that yet.
Okay.
So
be decided.
To be determined.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. I hope that you get to check out that play on Friday. Thanks, you guys, for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you, Kayla.
Thanks.